These are our wars. These are our struggles. You know, we're going to have issues with our kids. We're going to have issues in our marriages. We're going to have issues with our friendships and in our families. But these are our wars. And make no mistake about it. The direction of your life and where it is going has everything to do with your relationships. Relationships are so vital to your emotional health, your spiritual health, yes, even your physical health. And today we're going to talk about friendships. Who are your Wookiees? Who's your sidekicks? Who's your posse? Who's your homies? Who are the people that you can count on? And I know that for many of us, this is a foreign concept because we've been taught since we were little, hey, there are no friends. There's no such thing as friends. There's only family. And friendships don't exist. But the fact remains, they do. You are molded. You are shaped by your friendships. You are shaped into who you are today and for who you are tomorrow. This is why we grew up hearing those sayings. Tell me your friends, show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. Heard of that one? Birds of a feather flock together. Here's one that's so true. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I get a lot of people that say, man, I just wonder where I'm going to be in 5 years from now. I wonder where, you know, what my life is going to look like. I can tell you exactly what it'll look like. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me the people that you spend the most time with, and I will show you the trajectory of your life. In fact, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he said it this way, Proverbs 13:20. He says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, this is what he's saying. You get your friends right. If you can get your friends right, then you're going to set yourself up for everything that matters in your life. You're going to set it up for incredibly good success if you get your friends right. But on the flip side, it's true. If we get our friendships wrong, it can set us up for more pain. It can set us up for more trials, more struggles, more destructions than ever before. You show me your friends, and I promise you, I will show you your future. In fact, you know, as I was studying and just kind of going over this message, I started thinking about my life, and I can tell you, when I was at my rock bottom, the very lowest that you could possibly be, I remembered the friends that were around me during that time. And sure enough, we were all on the same boat. And then when I started getting involved in investments and professional life, and I started hanging out with lawyers and real estate attorneys, and in my mind, that's the direction that my life was taking. And then the Lord got a hold of me. Started going to church. Started hanging out with pastors. Here I am today. In fact, thank you. Look at it this way. I'm starting to hang around with a bunch of New Yorkers. And I used to be a Texan. And now I'm a New Yorker. You show me your friends, and I'm going to show you your future. And so here's what I'd like for us to do. If you got your bulletin, you got your programs, I want you to take a moment and look at that list there. You got five spaces, and I want you to write down your closest friends. Okay, can't be your spouse, can't be your dog. No imaginary friends here. Your closest friends, the ones that you can call at 2 a.m, the ones that you can be transparent and open with. The ones that you can show the real you, your closest friends. I see some of you not writing. I'll give you the permission to write down your imaginary friends, because it's obvious you don't have any. And here's something that leadership experts and sociologists, they have taught for many, many years as you're writing down your five closest friends. In almost every area of your life, you are the average of your five closest friends. Every area of your life, you are the average of your five closest friends. And so as you're looking at those who are listed, a few questions are going to come to mind. Am I hanging around with the right people? Do I want to become like those that I'm with? I mean, the future that I see myself, are these the friends that are going to get me there? And some of you are also looking at that list, and you're having trouble coming up with one, two, three. And it's proving the sociologists correctly when they say that very few of us have friends anymore. In fact, they have a term for this. They say, okay, there's spiritual poverty, there's financial poverty, and you know what else there is? Relational poverty. You're relationally poor. And according to their review, the average American today only has two close friends. So chances are on your list, you got two names. Now, that may not seem alarming to you, but it should. And I know we've got all sorts of reasons. Hey, I've got a life, man. And I got work, and I've got bills to pay, and I got my own family, and I got my own kids, and I've got so many things going on. I just don't have time for friends. I don't have time to get involved in other people's lives. I got my own burdens. I got my own issues. Besides, hey, I got 500 Facebook friends. We know those aren't friends. And friendships, they mold us. They shape us. They set us up for our future. They are so necessary. It's even biblical. In fact, the Bible phrase, one another, is used over 58 times. There's a command in the Bible, 58 times. Love one another, care for one another, help one another, greet one another, encourage one another. And you can't do that if you don't got good friends. And so we need friends for spiritual growth. Even Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and then you will fulfill the law of Christ. Some of us, we're just so caught up carrying our own burdens, there's no possible way we can fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love one another. Life is a journey. We need companions. And you will never be great in life unless you choose good friends, unless you keep good friends, and unless you grow with your friends. In light of this truth, let's look at how friendship typically begins, and then the marks of a good friendship. Okay, here's how friendships typically begin. There's common ground. There's things that we have in common. True friendship begins when you're passionate about the same things that I am. We see the same truths. We believe in the same things. There's commonality. It's like if I were to ask you, hey, you catch the basketball game last night? Catch the Cavs play last night? No? Oh, you don't watch basketball? Oh, do you play? No? Oh, okay, all right. Hey, what about you going to watch that Super Bowl game tonight? It's going to be good. It's going to be a pretty good game. The Patriots better not win. You going to catch that game? Oh, you don't watch football? Oh, okay, I get you. Are you interested in the spiritual things of life? Are you interested in what's beyond this life? And if there's a purpose much greater than what we have just right here, there's got to be something so much more important. You don't like any of that stuff. Okay. Hey, wings? You like wings? You're a vegetarian? We're done. There's nothing in common here. You're not a good candidate. That's why friendships, you got to have things that you have in common. But a lot of times, we need to be the one to take that first step, to initiate friendships. And let me tell you something that's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks that I'm very excited about. And this is a place where you're going to find a lot of common ground with many people. Beginning next Sunday, we're going to have sign-up tables for our life groups. And I know many of you have been asking about it. Well, when are we going to sign up? What's this going on? And we're going to have so many different topics. We're trying to cover almost every day of the week to make it convenient for you, because we know a lot of you, you know, there's certain days where there's a little bit more flexibility for you, so we're trying to provide that. We're going to have sign-up tables, and we want to encourage you guys, get plugged in a small group. What an amazing opportunity to find common ground with different people, marriage groups, and you want to improve your marriage. Why not surround yourself with people that want to do the same? We're going to have different topics. It's going to be an awesome thing. And once you've taken that step to make those kind of friendships, here's what you don't do, okay? Here's a top 10 list that will guarantee to kill any of your friendships. All right? If you want to alienate and destroy any possible friendships, you do these things, okay? Here's number 10. Always forget your wallet. Who's been guilty of that? Come on. You forget your wallet. Here's number 9. To ask, have you gained a little bit of weight? Don't go there. And fellas, don't ever, ever, ever ask a lady if she's pregnant, whether she is or not. You just don't ask that question. Number 8. Talk loudly and often about your political beliefs. Let me tell you, you will lose Facebook friends for that one. Number 7, tell them how to raise their kids. Don't go there. Number 6, come down with a sudden 24-hour stomach flu on the day that you were supposed to help them move. You done that? Number 5, bombard them with invites to your Scentsy, your oils, your jewelry, meet and greets. Don't do that. Number 4, request a lot of airport pickups, especially in Cleveland. Oh, don't go there. Number 3, post a lot of Facebook posts insisting that if you don't share and if you don't like, then you're not a true friend. Do you know how annoying those things are? Number 2, you limit all your conversations to Messenger. And number 1, only communicate through text. Those last two right there represent what is taking over our world. It is being used in a way to keep people at a distance. And now many of us, that's what we hide behind. There's even this fear that's being created to even answer the phone. Like the phone rings and it just gets you anxious, and who's calling? You immediately send them to voicemail. And now they've got where the voicemail is, it'll be transcribed for you. It'll be all written down. So you don't even have to listen to it, because even that creates stress. We're hiding behind technology. And it's not doing anything positive for our friendships, which leads us to our first point. We want to create solid, healthy relationships. We've got to be present. We've got to be present. There's truly no replacement for present, face-to-face, eye contact, that kind of conversations. I mean, if we're trying to create these long-lasting relationships, that's what we need. You know, the writer of Hebrews, man, he said something that is so true throughout this history, and even more today, even more so today. Look at Hebrews 10, 24, 25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How are we going to do this? By not giving up meeting together. He didn't say by not giving up texting one another or messaging one another, as some are in the bad habit of doing. Encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. He says, let us not neglect meeting each other. You know that word right there? Meet one another. In Greek, is only used 2 times two times in the Bible. And it means this, to meet physically with a spiritual purpose. That's how important it is. Let us not neglect meeting together for a spiritual purpose, as some people are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, especially now, as his return, as Christ's return is drawing near. Let us not give up meeting together. There is power in presence. And this is not just being physically present. This is being emotionally present. It is being totally there. You know, as I was studying just this particular point, of all times, I get a text from a friend back in El Paso. How are you guys doing? Oh, you know, this and this is going on in my life. And you know, I miss you guys. I miss you guys so much. And you know what? You know what you put on there? It just kind of blew my mind. I even miss when we were sitting in the living room, all of us together, and we all were watching our phones. We were all looking at our phones, but we were still together. I wonder how different our family, I wonder how different our friendships, I wonder how different we would be if we made the people that we were with priority, if we were present. Let's just put that phone down. My daughter this morning, she asked a random question, Sophia. She said, Dad, if we had to move, what would be the one thing that you would take? And what would be the one thing Mom would take? And you can't say your phone because you always have your phone with you anyway. Let's put the phone down. Let's be present. There's power. Let's not give up on that power of that habit of meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And so the first thing that I want to do is encourage you to be present. And here's number two. Be real. Be real. We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. It's when we're transparent. It's when we're vulnerable. It's when we drop this image like I've got it all together, when we know you ain't got it all together. Ain't nobody have it all together. It's when we're able to say, hey, man, this is what's really going on in my life. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's the marriage issues that I've gotten. This is what we're dealing with. Here's that temptation that I can't seem to overcome. It's when we're being open. It's when we're being transparent. It's when we're being real that we're able to look out for one another, to pray for one another. Look at James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins right there to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. What's happening when you do this? When you confess your sins to a trusted believer, a trusted friend, the Bible says that you will be healed. There's a healing dimension to it. And I know that many times it could avoid us from making all sorts of massive problems when we're able to do this. Why? Because friends help friends. And it's not just in the big things, okay? But even in the smaller everyday incidents, friends will help you avoid making bad decisions. And I can think of, in my lifetime, all the horrible decisions that I've made. And if only I had the right friendships next to me, I could have avoided it. Even the smaller ones. You know, many of you don't know this. In fact, I don't think anyone knows this, but I used to sport a mullet. I had a mullet. Where was my friend that said, dude, don't go there, man. Don't grow that thing. I used to sport those MC Hammer parachute pants and dance to the It's Okay to Make a Thing Go Right song. Where were my friends then? Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You had some good friends. I could have avoided so many embarrassments, so many problems, so many issues. Friendships are so important. And very often, one close friend can tell you even what you don't want to hear. See, a true friend will level with you. They're going to be open. They're going to be honest, transparent, even if it causes a little bit of friction, even if it causes some sparks. Look at Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This says that we shape others, and others, they shape us. And yes, there are going to be some times where there will be sparks involved. That's going to happen. But a good friend is constructive. They're going to give you well-thought-out guidance. They'll help you solve problems. They'll find alternative solutions and give you good counsel and help you, which is something that we all need. But we got to be real. We got to be transparent. And here's the next one. We've got to be there. Friendships is spelled T-I-M-E, time. If you want to build solid relationships, you got to spend more time, more quality time. Deep friendships aren't accidental. They just don't happen. They're a choice. It's not instant. And it ain't cheap. But we got to choose to invest time, energy, and effort. No friendship's going to flourish without being there. Do you have a friend? Do you have a friend that you would set aside your own personal interest to be there for them, to be present there for them? Maybe cancel a vacation. Maybe take care of their kids for a while, or maybe for life if need be. Would you be that friend that if you get that late night, hey, you got to bail me out? Would you show up at 2, 3 in the morning to bail them out? The greatest ability is dependability. Look at Philippians 2:4. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Shouldn't be just interested in our own lives. And I think that's the problem that we see, I mean, in our society today. Everyone's just focused on themselves. And you can even go to any function, any event, any party, and you walk in there, and a lot of times this is what we're thinking. I wonder what everyone's thinking, how I look. I wonder what people are thinking, how things look for me, and if I look good or if I don't look good, or if my hair's right. Let me tell you, ain't nobody interested in how you look. They're more focused on themselves. They're not even thinking about you. That's the way we are today. But if we can focus on others, tell you what, you make a whole lot of friends because you don't see that anymore. And here's the next step to have healthy, good relationships. Be loyal. Be loyal. Loyalty is not a term that we use anymore. We don't even talk about loyalty. Why? Nobody's loyal to anything. No one's loyal. There's no brand loyalty. There's no loyalty to a church, a company. People are just not loyal anymore. It's a matter of, what have you done for me lately? But see, good friends, they're going to defend you. They'll always have your back, especially when others gossip about you. They'll have your back. And I know one of the quickest ways to burn any of your friendships is to get involved in gossiping. It reminds me of this story where there was these three pastors, and they're out in a boat, and they were just, you know, fishing, and one of them starts to open up, and he says, hey, man, I got to share something with you guys. I've been struggling with greed. And the other two guys are, oh, man, yeah, you know, we pray for you. We're going to be there for you. That's a tough one. And then the next pastor said, well, let me just tell you guys what I struggle with. I struggle with lust. And the other pastor, oh man, you got to be very careful with that, and we're going to pray for you, we're going to have your back. And the other pastor just quiet. And so they're waiting. The other two guys are just waiting and waiting, and then finally say, hey, well, what do you struggle with? And the other pastor said, I got a problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get home and tell everything about you two. Gossip will kill friendships real quick. You want to be able to walk with friends and share your deepest secrets, knowing full well that it's not going to get repeated in a way that it's going to hurt you. A friend lets you in. They share their heart. They're transparent with you. But don't let them down by breaking that confidence and gossiping. Loyalty is a commitment. It says, hey, I'm going to put you before I put myself. Look at Proverbs 17:17. A true friend is always loyal. And a brother is born to help in a time of need. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:7. If you love someone, you will be, circle that word, you will be loyal to them, no matter what cost. You'll always believe in them, always expect the best, always stand your ground in defending them. Loyalty is actually the opposite of self-centeredness. It says, I'm going to help you instead of helping me. Even through the hardships, which, as we all know, they will happen. So let me ask you this question, difficult question. If the bottom fell out in your world this weekend, you received some horrible news, who would be there for you? Outside of your family, who would be there for you? You see, the time to build close friendships is before we need them. And I want to share with you one of the closest, deepest friendships that I had. Basically, I almost grew up with a guy, and we did everything together. He was this amazing guy. He had his future way ahead of him. He had everything going for him. He was smart. He just had everything. And everyone loved being around him, and we were extremely close. We started playing basketball together, and there were some days where he would say, hey, man, I can't play anymore because my back is hurting. And so he'd sit out. And then another day, we'd start playing again, and he'd literally just be like, dude, I can't move. And so we'd sit him on the chair, and it was just weird. Something was wrong. So his parents ended up taking him to the doctor, and sure enough, they found a tumor the size of his football wedged right in between his spine. And they had to do the surgery, and he ended up in a wheelchair, and to make matters worse, it was cancerous. And so now he was in this battle, and, you know, he was a dear friend of mine, but during all this time, you know, I was having my kids, I was starting my business, my schedule was completely just filled. But he was my friend, and I had to make time for him. And so I would go to his house, I would drive to his parents' house, and he was a big guy, and we'd be in his wheelchair, and I'd have to pick him up and put him inside the car. And it was a tough thing, but I had to be there for him. And we try and do things that we would normally do, just like we did back then. I wanted to make it as normal as possible. Well, there was this one time where Rose and I and the family, we were planning our vacation, and you know, it was already set, and I get a call from his parents that, hey, he's not well. We're going to have to take him to the hospital. I reach him. He's like, dude, don't worry about it, man. You guys go. You guys do your family thing. I'll be all right. And I had to make a decision right there. Do I just go or do I stay and make sure he's all right? And a lot of me was saying, nah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. Let's just do the vacation. Come on, we've been planning this. A lot of me was saying that. But a small whisper was saying, stay. Well, I can tell you the day that we decided no, I went to the hospital and I walked in the room and our eyes just locked. And just me being there, I could tell made such a difference. Because when it all mattered, in the end for him, when it all mattered, and he saw his family and his friend standing around his bed, that's what truly mattered. And there was a peace that he was given even until his very last breath. And you know what? For us, when it's all said and done, when it all comes to an end, that's all that's truly going to matter. It's our relationships. It'll be those that are standing right around us. And I want to share something with you, because there is a greater friendship. There is someone that will stand by you. There is someone that will never let you down. There is a friend that will be right by your side no matter what. And that friend is Jesus. And if you're wondering, is Jesus a friend? Well, that is the nucleus of what the gospel is all about. Listen what he says in John 15, 12, 15. He says, "My command is to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Then he says, "You are my friends. I have called you my friends." Our Savior knew the cost of friendship. And Jesus is the type of friend that will never leave you. He won't turn on you no matter what. He is the ultimate friend who loves you at all times, and he's going to stand by you. He did it at the infinite cost of himself so that we could be friends with the Father. Jesus experienced what we should have experienced, but he did it because he is that perfect friend. And in everything we do, even our friendships, must start with Jesus. And for you, if maybe you're struggling hearing this message and you've had trouble with friends, you've lost some close friends, don't give up. Start with Jesus and don't give up, because we were never intended to walk through this life alone. God designed us for deep relationships, but we've got to fight for them. We've got to make time for them. We have to work through them, even the difficult times. And if we do this, you know what we'll find? We'll find our Wookiee. We'll find our Chewie. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus, Lord. Our one true and closest friend. I thank you that he would never let us down. He always there for us through the good and the bad. Even when we make mistakes, even when we turn on him. And Lord, I just pray that in knowing this truth, that we too would replicate these friendships with those around us, that we would begin new ones and build deep, close relationships like you want us to do. I pray for this church, Lord. I pray that it begins here and it ventures out throughout this community. And we would build solid, close friendships, because we've got a solid, close friendship with you. And it's this that we pray. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here. Have a blessed week. God bless you all.